And we're live. Hey, hey, welcome to Midday Cafe, and I am your host, Michael Giannotti, joined by another Michael.
Michael Curley.
And before we kick off today's Midday Cafe, we got a packed agenda for the day. We're going to be having App of the Week, Tech News. We got Cortana Analytics with Brian Walker and much more. But before we start that, so Michael, first of all, quickly, who are you?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the agenda today.
Really appreciate it. Absolutely. Anytime.
I'm the sales director for Azure for the Microsoft Mid-Atlantic States District, which covers from Pittsburgh through Philadelphia down all the way through Richmond. And I manage our sales and technical teams focusing on the Microsoft Cloud, in particular, Microsoft Azure.
Which is BA, folks. That's all I'm saying. So with Azure, though, so one of the things that I got excited about, I heard today, we have an upcoming event here locally that we wanted to let our viewers know about so they could get signed up for this thing.
And that's why I'm here today. I'm here to promote this hands-on lab that we have in Philadelphia.
In Philly. Hands-on.
December 3rd.
So this is not just a PowerPoint. This is not, welcome to Azure.
No.
No.
I wouldn't be here if it was just a PowerPoint.
Awesome.
It's a hands-on lab led by a proctor on December 3rd in downtown Philadelphia.
Downtown Philly, December 3rd. And so what's the name of this thing? What are they going to be talking about or covering within this hands-on thing?
Well, we're calling it the hands-on lab.
The hands-on lab, all right.
And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be covering some basic workloads for Azure. It's a bring-your-own-device event.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
So we're not going to have devices there where people are going to have to come in and use Microsoft equipment.
Right.
You bring your own. And the good thing about that is you use that same equipment.
To take it back.
When you get home and you use the same content at home.
Wow, that's cool. I like that. So that really gives you not only the hands-on, but then take the experience you had, bring it back with you.
Yes.
So, and not just leave it.
So let me answer your question. What are we going to cover?
Yeah.
We're going to be covering some basic workloads.
Uh-huh.
First of all, we'll do a setup process. So everybody who attends, we'll get a $100 subscription to Azure that will last for 1 month.
Mm.
We'll instantiate that in the training.
Yep.
And then when you get home for the next 30 days, you're welcome to continue to use it and leverage what you learned in class and continue to experiment with same workloads at home.
Very cool.
We'll cover storage, we'll cover networking, and we'll cover compute.
Yep.
And then we're gonna cover some more advanced Azure scenarios like operational insight,
okay,
automation,
and
the Azure resource,
Azure
templates.
That is so that's slick, and I love that because so think about this, folks. You're getting hands-on time. They're giving you a month of Azure subscription so you can get in there, not only do it in class, take it back on your laptop, work with it, continue to work with it, lessons learned. That's rocking.
It is rocking.
So what does it cost to sign up for this?
It costs zero.
Whoa. So in the holiday season, you're getting a month of Azure subscription and it costs what?
Zero.
Free. We like free. So folks, this is a no-brainer. What we're going to do, I'll tell you what. I like this so much. After we finish broadcasting today, when we post the recording from today, up on our homepage, we're gonna go ahead, put a link to the registration.
Great.
So that folks can get in there for free and sign up. They can get involved, get their hands on Azure, December 3rd, downtown Philly. Come on, folks, you can't beat that.
And that's great, that registration link is really important because in order to attend, you do have to pre-register.
You gotta pre-register. So I'm gonna float this out all over too. Is that okay?
That is perfect, Michael.
I think that's what we'll do. Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate you coming in.
You know what? Let me even talk a little bit more about timing, if you don't
mind. Whoa! Go right ahead.
The event starts from at 11 o'clock on the 3rd.
All right.
It's at a location called Pipeline Philly, which is very close to Suburban Station, for those of you who know Philadelphia.
Oh, that's nice. So they can, if they want, they can take mass transit in.
Absolutely.
SEPTA, yeah.
And from 11 to 12, it's arrival. We'll serve lunch. And then we're going to actually set up this Azure subscription. So for the first hour, it's about setup, arrival, and eating. And you really do need to get there at 11 promptly because it does take some time to set up the Azure subscription. But then from 12 until 4 o'clock, we're going to be covering those workloads that I discussed.
You're getting hands-on.
All managed by a proctor. It'll be excellent. And then from 5 o'clock until 6 o'clock, we're going to have a happy hour for anybody who attends.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
So you might want to take the SEPTA so that you don't have... make your commute back a little easier and enjoy the that evening time.
And I have one more, one last thing before I go. We are going to be, whoever attends, we're going to be raffling off a Dell Venue 10 with a keyboard. So somebody will be leaving that event with a really nice Windows 10 device.
I was going to say, that is a sweet Windows 10 device.
It is.
So I don't know. What more do you want? It's free. They're going to feed you. You get a happy hour. You get hands on Azure, a month of Azure, and a chance to win a great Christmas prize.
That's right.
Wow. That's rocking. So folks, we'll have the link. Like I said, I'm going to push it out on my social media, but we will definitely have it later this afternoon. We'll throw that up with the recording from today's broadcast.
Perfect.
And look forward to seeing you with Azure hands-on.
Hope
December
to see you
3rd.
There.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
We look forward to hearing more about other Azure.
You got it.
Bye-bye. Awesome. Have a great one. All right, folks. So that wraps up our Azure segment, but like I said, this is something you can't afford to miss. So we'll have the link. Take a look for that. And you can always, of course, bing, more about Azure if you're interested in learning more. So let's get started. Before we get into today's topic, looking at Cortana Analytics, we've got a little bit of Microsoft tech news. I have an app of the week I want to share with you, and then we are going to dive right in. But let's go ahead. I'm going to bring on up, by the way, today, I am running solo. We have no producer Steve, in case you didn't notice. So it's just me running the show here today. Producer Steve is on vacation. He is in the Sierra Nevadas on a mountain bike trip. And let me just say, Producer Steve has never mountain biked. He's with a bunch of experienced mountain bikers. So we're looking forward to hearing about his adventures, making sure he has all his teeth when he gets back. Fingers and toes and all that good stuff. But there's a lot been going on in Microsoft news. I've been gone for the last week out in Redmond. More things that I'll be sharing as we move on. Some stuff that was just awesome this past week. But let's get started with the news. So the first thing we have is coming to us from the Office blogs. And it is around sharing your PowerPoint slides with your social network. So Microsoft Garage, if you're not familiar, it's a group within Microsoft that does these, we're calling them garage projects. One of the kind of go-to marching orders from Satya has been really about fostering this startup mentality within Microsoft to help just, you know, continue to reinvigorate and help us to reinvent things and as we reinvent productivity. So one of the things that they have done is created with the Microsoft Garage project, this thing called Share Snapshots. And what it will allow you to do is with social share, it'll allow you to share snapshots of individual slides or even an entire presentation as a photo album or video right from PowerPoint to Facebook or Twitter. Now think about this, folks. Create snapshots, you know, key pieces right from PowerPoint that you want to show, be able to share that out and never leave the comfort of PowerPoint. So all kinds of great things that are available if you think about that from the standpoint of community outreach, maybe in the technical communities, maybe it might be part of your own personal branding or even small business or company branding. A lot of opportunity to take the power of PowerPoint, create rich content, and then share it out via the social channels of Facebook and Twitter. So take a look. We'll have the link, you know, after the broadcast. We'll be posting that up with the recording as well. Be sure to check it out. And that is share slide or slide sharing with social networks via PowerPoint. Next up, and this one I've had customers asking me all the time about. So the availability of archiving third-party data in Office 365 is now available in preview. Now, you might be saying, what do you mean? What is that? I don't get it. Think about this. All the different third-party platforms that you might be running around, different internal social media, instant messaging, other collaboration platforms, taking data from those, doing things like high-speed scanning and stuff that people used to have to pump into on-premise SharePoint, all this kind of goodies, now being able to pull that data, suck it up, and then archive it into Office 365. It's available now in preview. There's a number of third-party add-ons that we have that allow you to archive this different third-party data. So a couple of them that they cite in the article, I'm looking to hear. You can see up and back of me here, and we'll have a link to all this after the broadcast. We have Data Parser. We have Actiance, Archive Social. This one's kind of cool. So it says provides 100% authentic capture of social media for compliance with regulations such as SEC, FINRA, and FOIA. Why is that important? Think about it. You're at a banking institution, you're financial services, a government institution, but you're engaging in social media, Twitter, Facebook, and others. Being able to suck that stuff up, pump it out, and then archive it into Office 365 for compliance and being able to do auditing and stuff against that. Huge, right? They also have Dagis, which is another archiving one around IM, social media, voice, file system, SharePoint, and reports, right? So they've got that. Merge One is talking about doing email, IM, social media, financial, and mobile text communications, getting that in Office 365. Then we have Verba that does speech analytics, collaboration compliance, quality management, voice, video calls, desktop screen recording, all of that, and again, archiving it. So there's a whole range of partners that are available. They have listed. You can check it out again after when we upload the recording. I'll have links to that for you to learn a little bit more. The next one I'm personally excited about because I show this all the time, and this got asked to me just a week and a half ago. Outlook Groups. Outlook Groups now supports 11 new languages and more. So they talked about the fact that they have introduced a new mobile app for the Outlook Groups. If you haven't seen it yet, you should. So if you're doing groups, Office 365 groups, that's what we're talking about here, you can now do them on your mobile device. I have it on my Lumia 1520 running Windows 10. Yes, I am. And so I can do it now with the mobile app from here. We have it for iOS, for Android, Windows Phone. But they've also now added support for 11 languages. So if we come down here, some of the languages that they have, we now support the following: Spanish, Portuguese, French, German, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Dutch, Russian, Chinese Simplified, and Chinese Traditional, with more coming soon. So I was asked just a week and a half ago about Spanish, French, and Chinese. There we go. They're there, folks. We're going to continue to add to that portfolio. I hope you check it out. If you don't have it on your mobile device, you should, because Groups is the absolute best way for you to pull together your groups of folks to work on projects and other type of things in that kind of ad hoc manner within your organization. Next up, updated Office 365 Modern Authentication public preview. This comes to us from Mr. Authentication himself out of corporate, Paul Andrews, who I think we're going to need to schedule for an event here. And Paul talks about the new modern authentication with the Windows client, Office 2013 Windows client, Office 2016 Windows client, how that's gone GA, users of Office 365 modern authentication, how they're getting production support, and much more. But if you're somebody who focuses on authentication and, you know, identity and access to the system, this is a link you're going to want to check out to get more information about how we've updated what we're doing in the cloud around authentication. Next up, and this again is another biggie when we talk about the whole compliance world, right? EU model clauses and HIPAA BAA update now available for all Yammer customers. So I get asked all the time about Yammer and compliance, and people sometimes get the heebie-jeebies. They're like, I get 365 and I get all this, but Yammer is this thing and it can't be compliant, can it? Well, that's not true, folks. It absolutely is not true. So here you can see we actually have here the EU model clause and HIPAA BA update, which is available now for all Yammer customers. And they talk about in here, this is coming to us by Juliet Way, Senior Product Marketing Manager for the Yammer team. She says, today I'm thrilled to announce that Yammer has achieved a major compliance milestone to enhance its commitment to the protection of personal data for European customers. Effective immediately, all customers can obtain a data processing agreement with the European Commission standard contractual clauses for data processes, commonly known as EU Model Clause or EUMC. This provides customers with an alternative to transfer personal data from the European Union to the United States. Additionally, the standard HIPAA Business Associate Agreement for Microsoft Enterprise Online Services is also now available for all Yammer customers. And then it just goes on to say organizations want a collaboration platform that gives them the right level of privacy, security, and compliance. EUMC and the use of standard HIPAA BAA for Microsoft Enterprise Online Services is part of Yammer's ongoing investment to deliver the protection customers need to collaborate with confidence. So we continue to strengthen our offering around Yammer, what we're doing there. If you haven't taken a look at what we're doing in Yammer around compliance and security, you should. It's been changing, it's been updating. They have a whole FAQ here. Check it out, we'll have the link again after we archive the broadcast. Next up, the Xbox app on Windows 10 gets a social update. So, if you have not gotten your Windows 10 update on Xbox One, well, number one, you're missing out. I have it on mine, I'm loving it. Took a little bit getting used to. Now that I'm there, I like it much better. And you will too once you get to playing around with it. But connecting up Xbox with Windows 10 and the things we can do there. Well, Windows 10 got an update for its Xbox beta app that brings new ways to expand your social gaming network and share gaming content with your friends through Xbox Live. It's all there in Windows 10, which is what I'm running here, what you're seeing up here. You want to check it out. Some great fun for the home, and you can take advantage of that. Next up, another little fun thing for those of you running Windows 10 Surfaces, and we have here the top free games for your Windows 10 Surface device. So if you have a Windows 10 Surface device, be it a upgraded Surface 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Or even a Surface Book. You can go ahead and they have, it says, discover some of the best free Windows 10 games that you can play. And my wife is texting me. Look at that. I'm at Lowe's. Should I get the copper pipe house kit? She does this in the middle of my broadcast. We have a new fridge coming in. So let's just quicker say yes. There we go. We've texted back on our Windows 10 phone. Ooh. So there is enough of that. So here, let's take a look at some of the free games we're talking about. First of which, Age of Empires Castle Siege for free, folks. Free, right? There we go. And she keeps on texting me. $10, but I don't know what is better. Get both. All right. And I misspelled both. Yes, we are live, folks. Here we go. Mrs. G does not care about Mr. G's broadcast. So first of all, Age of Enterprise for free. Candy Crush Soda Saga. Now, I'm not big into this whole Candy Crush and all that, but I guess there's a lot of folks that evidently like it. It seems to be one of the biggest downloads. You can get that for free, and they have a link to that as well. Asphalt 8 Airborne. This is pretty cool. It's a driving adventure one. Does all kinds of cool stuff, but Asphalt 8 Airborne is available. That it's not airborne as in flying, it's cars. And next up, we have Tiny Troopers Special Ops. It says Tiny Troopers are back and ready for Windows 10. Join these little guys. Remember, size means nothing about, it's about your spirit in battle. So you can get Tiny Troopers 2 Special Ops there. Order and Chaos. This one looks pretty cool to me. Join thousands of players in an interactive world of stunning graphics, multiple factions, and thousands of characters in this massively multiplayer online role-playing game. So you can join Orders in Chaos. You can download it for free. They have a link to that there. Also to Microsoft Treasure Hunt for the download. And Call of Duty Heroes available for free. And it says play today and also get a $15 gift of in-game items on top of everything with that. So check them out. They're all for free. We'll have a link again after the broadcast on the archive. Last ups. This is kind of cool. Today, I don't know if you're aware, but we're in the 10 days of 10-cent deals from the Microsoft for the Windows Store. So if you have not played around the Windows Store, I'm going to click on it right here. There we go. We'll open that up. There it is in back of me, the Windows Store. And you can see we've got all kinds of goodies and apps. Most popular, top free games, essential apps, new music, new movies, top selling TV show. They have different collections around popular, essential, racing games, deal hubs, holiday shopping, giving thanks. And if you click show all, then we get into digital artists, student and scholars, all kinds of goodies and classifications. But during the 10 days of 10-cent deals on the Windows Store, you can buy all kinds of goodies for 10 cents. You heard that right, 10 cents. So what are the ones for today and today only? Now you have to jump. In the movie category, Pitch Perfect 2. So if you wanna see these lovely ladies and all their karaoke grandness, I know my daughter loves the Pitch Perfect movies, you can take a look, watch Pitch Perfect 2, rent it. It's actually, you can rent it for 10 cents for today. Also, Ex Machina, Ex Machine, I'm probably not saying that. You can, this is, it says a remote retreat is a setting for where a reclusive mastermind conducts a strange and fascinating experiment when Cody, a young computer coder, wins a competition to spend the weekend away at his CEO's isolated compound. He has no idea he'll be expected to interact with the world's first truly artificial intelligence. And you can rent that movie for 10 cents. Inception with Leonardo DiCaprio, you can rent for 10 cents. In the music category, Luke Bryan, Tailgates and Tan Lines. Yes, get a little country goodness. You can buy the entire album for 10 cents today. Justin Timberlake, Sexy Back. Well, there we go. You can buy the song for 10 cents today. True, Avicii, True. It says it's the hypnotic and bright Grammy nominated track Levels. At any rate, Avicii, this entire album True, you can buy for 10 cents today. They have an app, Cook Me Pro, your cookbook. It's a normally evidently cost a lot of money. Maybe you can get buy the app for 10 cents today so you can get all of your latest professional cooking stuff. Right there, and I'm having a blank. They also have a number of games. So we have Where's My Water for 10 cents today, Chimpact for 10 cents today, and Angry Birds Space just 10 cents today. Again, these are only good for a limited time, so you want to jump on them today. And with that, that's it for all my news and tech news for Microsoft today. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll have links to all that when we post the archive later today. One last little goodie we're gonna pull up here before we move on. And we're gonna pull up here my Windows phone. So you're gonna see up here in back of you. There we go. So I know we don't have, again, producer Steve to go full screen with this, but I think you can get a pretty good sense. So there is my Lumia 1520. Running Windows 10 on it. You can see all that goodness. Nice responsive UI design. But the beauty of it is I wanted to show you an app for this week that I just downloaded after my week in Redmond. So many of you probably use this. You can get it for Windows 10 on your PC. I downloaded it onto my Windows 10 mobile device. And I'm just brand new to it, believe it or not. Flipboard. So if you haven't used Flipboard before, you should check it out. I did this after listening to one of the speakers out in Redmond. He gave his list of who he follows on Flipboard to get new news and all that goody stuff. But here you can see I'm looking at, here's the front page and all kinds of news articles that pop up and you can go ahead and take a look at US now has a space hotline with China in space. So we can click that. It'll open up the article. I also have different subscriptions. So here's Gizmodo, Business Insider, Mashable, The Verge, and I can go to any one of those, click on it. It's going to go ahead and pull the latest and greatest information. And then you can, again, read these articles, share them out, bookmark them, add them to your own magazines that you put there. It's a great app. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. I actually used to sign up. I used my Facebook account, just one click, and I was done, and that was it. So you might want to check it out. Flipboard, take a look. You know, one of the things that I was challenged this last week was to subscribe to other technical venues that have not just Microsoft coverage in my case, but that had coverage to other platforms, other people's insights and ideas that may challenge, may infuriate, but definitely get you thinking. And so I've done that for a number of things around not just science, but philosophy, technology in general, politics, philosophy, religion. I got it all on there, but things to make you think. So you might want it too, because it's always good to take a look at alternate points of view and other things to kind of stretch our imagination, stretch our way of thinking and our worldview. Doesn't mean you necessarily agree or want to fall in line with something, a technological direction or something else, but it's always good to know what's going on, and again, to stretch the limits of our preconceived notions. So, off the soapbox and on to Cortana Analytics. So, Brian Walker is a technology solution professional here, or TSP, in the Mid-Atlantic District, covering our data platform. And Brian absolutely rocks. And I wanted Brian, I was like, oh, Brian, I got to get you in to talk. He had been doing some demos around Cortana Analytics. And I was like, dude, I have got to get you in to talk about this. So Brian, however, is located further south. So Brian, again, using the power of common tools, of PowerPoint, he didn't use the Mix feature. So we're going to have to show him how to use Mix for future one. But what he did was use traditional pieces like adding audio. He did use Mix to grab screen capture piece and put that in. But he created a whole presentation for us today on Cortana Analytics. So what I'm going to do, again, I don't have my producer, Steve. I'm going to run around, put his presentation full screen, and then I'm going to go through it. We have audio with it, so we're going to be able to hear Brian as we go through and really take a look at the goodness. If you're not familiar with Cortana Analytics, some of it's kind of like, poof, it's mind-blowing. You should be taking a look at it for your organization, because Cortana is not just this fun thing that you can come up to and say, you know, for example, oh, I don't have the audio set up. Oh, Cortana, am I handsome?
Hey there.
Oh, now she's saying, hey. Oh, because first time I used it. Next. Cancel that. There we go. Cortana, am I handsome?
Definitely.
Yes. So there we go. So not just playing, not just asking Cortana, sing me a song.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do.
Cortana, tell me a joke. Cortana, tell me a joke.
Why did the chicken cross the road, roll in the mud, and cross the road again? Because he was a dirty double crosser.
Oh my goodness. So enough of that. So Cortana, we all know, is good for fun stuff, also for doing stuff with calendars, etc. But Cortana also rocks the world with analytics. And so that's what we want to show you. That's the meat of today's presentation. So let me cut around, play producer. So I'm going to pull a Star Trek. We're going to teleport. Bloop. There we go. And so now we got Brian full screen. We have his presentation, and let's get started with Cortana Analytics.
Hello, and welcome to this session on Cortana Analytics Suite. My name is Brian Walker, and I'm currently a technology solution professional with the data platform team within Microsoft. Previous to this role, I've been in a global team, the Center of Excellences, working with PDW and analytic platform systems, as well as the surrounding technologies of Hadoop and a lot of the advanced analytics that enterprise customers have needed. I've assisted them in understanding the products as well as implementing them to solve business challenges. But enough about me, let's move on to the next piece. Okay, so here's the agenda that we're going to talk about in this session. What is advanced analytics? You know, how does it differ from just the regular BI that you're used to? What is Cortana Analytics? How do we see them in action? How do we differentiate us from others, and why would we be thinking about this? So in my normal kind of direction that I take when I go into projects along these lines, I like to start with the end in mind. So before we get too far along on this, I'm going to actually do the demo first. That way, maybe you will be able to get a nice visual in your mind, and we can start talking through the different components of the Cortana Analytics Suite, and you'll have something to reference it back to. Hopefully, this will also allow you to start thinking about how this suite or these components of technology can be used to help solve challenges in your business. So let's get started. Okay, so now we're looking at Power BI. So those who have not noticed Power BI or looked at Power BI before, this is a new visual tool that Microsoft has come out with. And it's really wrapped up the Power, you know, kind of the Power Tool features that were available in the last few versions of Excel. So it's just pulled them together into a nice kind of a wrapper that makes them easier to use and puts them together in an area, you know, that's easily accessible for more people. So one of the things that you might notice on this report is it's no longer a static report like what you would normally see coming out of Excel or coming out of even reporting services within Microsoft's suite. You know, you can see the numbers on the graph are actually changing. And this is based on some of the components within the Cortana Analytics Suite. The Analytics Suite has all of the technologies that you would need to stream data into your reports, like what I'm doing here. So this report is based on two different types of use cases around the connected car type scenario. Connected cars are the sensors that are in cars, like your tire pressure, your accelerate position, a number of sensors that are already built into most cars. And being used for various things. You know, the manufacturers want to be able to see, hey, you know, is there cars that, you know, are being driven that in need of maintenance? What are the things that they can do to help help solve that or, you know, prevent that from happening? The other side of things are, how are the cars being driven? So from an insurance perspective, you know, insurance companies obviously would like to have that information because they could, you know, charge the appropriate rates for people who drive, you know, either aggressively or the, you know, not charge higher rates for those who are driving like they should be. So this report is really broken into two halves. So down this line over here on the left, you'll notice that the numbers are changing and the graphs are changing along with it. To represent what is happening, you know, currently in the group of cars that I have connected to, you know, to this report. On the right side is our traditional batch mode. You know, so we have, you know, things that we're looking at that we don't need to necessarily know real time, but we want to know, and we want to report out on. And so I have a batch stream that goes through just, you know, each night and looks at, you know, the cars that were driven over the day and how were they being driven, and, you know, breaks them down into different, you know, slices of information so I can analyze that and better make decisions for the company. So this is part of Cortana. Power BI is a component of the Cortana Analytics Suite. Power BI also has three different kind of components within it. One, dashboards, which is what we're on right now. And this allows the users to actually customize this to pretty much anything they want. So you can provide a dashboard for your users, and then you can allow them to enable it to be, you know, they can customize it. So I can come up here to any one of these tiles and I can say, hey, I don't like this one. I can go delete that tile. I can also go in and start asking questions about the data. So one of the things that you want to start thinking about when you're using Power BI is, yes, you'll have standard reports. So you might come in and say, hey, you know, this looks interesting to me. And if you click on it, it will drill you down into a report that has more details around that information. So you have, you can still think in the, in terms of reports that you're used to providing to your customers, but you can also go through and start thinking about things in terms of, you know, data sets. So most reports back in my day when I was working with analytics and, you know, in the BI world, you know, we would build a lot of reports that were based on just different slices and different views of, you know, the same data. You know, but in order to provide the, our end users and our customers the reports that they needed, we had to provide many different reports. With Power BI, we've taken a different approach. We have this next level down, which are called data sets. So data sets, you can see in this case, I have one that's for connected car, the real time, which is my connected cars running right now. And then I have a batch, you know, which is again, that that may be that dump of data, or it may be all the data that I've collected throughout the day from that real-time stream that I run through a different process, a batch process. But I can have two different types of sources. I can actually have many sources. I've got some reports that I have, you know, 10 or 11 different data sources from, you know, things that are, could be just in Excel and could be in databases, could be, you know, any number of different places. The number of connectivity, or at least last count that I had, there was 41 actual, you know, native connectors out, you know, going out of Power BI to different data sources, plus the generic ODBC, OData, you know, the generic, you know, drivers that you have that you can connect to pretty much anything else. But we have a lot of different data sources that we can go through and source data from things like, you know, Salesforce and different systems that an enterprise would have. So thinking in terms of data sets takes us to a different realm. You know, because now it's like, okay, you know, where I've had slices of data in the past that I needed to provide in different reports, and we, you know, can still make those reports. Now, when we get up into this dashboard, you have the ability of turning on this, what we call natural language query. So if I came up and wanted to ask a question of the data, so something like average accelerator rater pedal position, since it actually kind of knows what the words are. So this is giving me average over everything. It's like, yeah, but I, you know, that's not really what I want. By model. All right, so it's going to go through and say, oh, by model, and it's going to give you a visualization that it feels is best for the type of data that you're asking for. It'll tell you right here where the source is coming from. It tells me, okay, I'm getting this information from that connected car real-time data set, and that's what's predicted here. But I may not be, you know, maybe I don't like bar graphs. That's a lot of color on the page. I can also tell it, hey, as line chart, if I can get my cursor to stay up there. And I can change the visualization into pretty much anything I want. You know, if I get into things that are you know, spatial in relation, it's going to start putting it onto a map. Otherwise, you know, it's going to pick what the best visualization is for the data. Now I can also come up and say, hey, if I want to add this to my dashboard, I just come to this pin and it will pin that visualization. Now, this doesn't work as well during a recording because it pulls up a verification screen that doesn't come to the recording that I can accept on. But know that you can come through and hit this pin and it will pin that to your dashboard. So that way you can ask it questions that the person who created this report may not even have thought of, or it may not even have been in the requirements that you need or that were provided to that data analyst to go forth and build that report. So that's one option, you know, that you can go through. You know, the other thing is you can go in and do a lot of interesting things like get insights. If you tell it to get insights, now I'm not going to run this right now because it takes a little bit of time. And what it's going to do is Cortana is going to go through all the data sets that you have and look at the different trends and outliers and things in that data. And she will come back and give you a list of, you know, here's something that I spotted in the data and give you kind of a narrative around that. You know, if you've got Windows 10 and you've got Cortana set up on Windows 10, she will actually start talking to you and can give you that information. So then you start getting into that voice natural language query where you can just start asking Cortana questions And she will go through, look at your data, and start providing that information back to you. You know, you don't even have to be sitting there at your screen. You can be doing something else and just be talking to your computer that might be sitting there, you know, on the desk or in the room next to you. So this is the Power BI section of this. You know, again, it allows streaming of data. So this, you know, from my past experience, obviously the majority of the world in the business would like to have, you know, more real-time data. And this Cortana Analytics Suites allows us to get to that in a much nicer, cleaner method than anything that's been available up to this point, while still providing the batch and providing now new visuals in different ways that you know, makes it look nicer. Again, the open source, you know, Microsoft has also embraced the open source community so that we can go through and start providing or start allowing you to provide. So in this case, it's telling me, hey, there's a, you know, due to security, you've got to approve the use of this visualization. And that's because this visualization is not one that was provided by Microsoft. It's one that I created on the outside of it. And it's going to ask you, hey, verify that it's okay before you start running it. So I can come in and give a star, you know, star graph, and create any type of visualization that I like, you know, even though Microsoft hadn't provided one. So now you've got any number of visualizations that you have that you want. And we also have a gallery where you can go out and look at other visualizations that other companies have created to solve challenges or you know, provide visualizations that they need that they have shared with the community because they felt like, hey, this was a good one. It worked out well for us. Other people might be interested. And you can go out and download those. You know, obviously, you want to run the security and take a look at the code that they're running and make sure that it's all, you know, legit for your, you know, before you implement it. But it gives you that ability to build them either internal or pull from the gallery. So keep this in mind as we start talking about the rest of the components, and we'll talk about what's driving this real-time action here, as well as, again, the, you know, the standard batch type action. So we'll be moving to the next slide, and we'll get into deeper into the components of what Cortana actually brings to the table. Okay, now that you've seen kind of the output of the Power BI portion of that, let's talk about what's included in the Cortana Analytics Suite. Obviously, the Power BI is one component that you is the kind of the visualization in the face of what you'd see in the suite. But there's a, you know, I kind of look at that as the tip of the iceberg, and there's a ton of stuff running around under the covers that will allow you to make that you know, live dashboard live and to help drive things into that space. So let's look at what's going on. So Cortana really is just a suite of tools that are already really available out in the wild, out in Azure today. So it's not like it's a whole new component. It's really just a kind of a, you know, Microsoft's way of trying to make the licensing a little bit easier, because we do hear a lot of feedback on the licensing is so complex, you need a PhD to just figure out what it is, you know, what you got. So this is, you know, kind of designed for companies who are doing this type of work to make it easy for them to say, hey, I just want the Cortana Analytics Suite, and they know that they've got all the components underneath the covers that they need to drive this type of, you know, advanced analytics. So let's look a little bit about what it's designed for. So there are some, you know, pre-configured solutions that we have out there in the world that you can just pick up and start using on your own. It's ones that either Microsoft has built for, you know, other customers with the agreement that it would become, you know, just standard IP. So things like recommendation engines, things, you know, the recommendation engine, like what you'd see in some of the websites where, hey, you looked at this item on our website, people who also looked at this item also, you know, found interest in these other items. Those types of standard recommendation engines. So there's those types of engines. There's forecasting engines for various things. There's customer churn models. And these can all be found in the gallery within the Azure Machine Learning. You know, so where you're looking at that machine learning and the statistical model analysis of your data to be able to help you predict and drive, you know, what's going to happen based on, you know, the scenarios that I've seen from this person clicking through our web page today or what have you. You know, there's a number of those pre-built out there in the suite. You know, obviously Cortana, we talked about Cortana, you know, your personal digital assistance is, you know, again, just another step in how do we make the data more available to the end user. Some of the perceptual intelligent pieces. So, you know, the facial recognition, the vision and speech recognition, the text analytics, these are things that people are now implementing in you know, new and different ways now that you have things like HD Insights, Hadoop, you know, and the power of being able to, you know, chew through that massive amount of data. So I know I've got, you know, the company I used to work for, we would record all of the customer service calls that came into our data call center. You know, back in the day when I worked for them before Microsoft, and you know, we knew that, you know, we would get to probably about 5, maybe 10% of those calls to actually, you know, monitor them or review them, you know, because it really meant somebody sitting there listening through all that to figure out what was going on. Now with tools like Hadoop, you can actually run those calls through, take that speech recognition and convert that into text. You can, you know, do different things on it. You can also take and take the tone and tenor of that speech, you know, of either the person calling in, the customer, or the rep answering the phone call, and figure out, hey, this, you know, person calling in is a little high rate, but the person on the phone, the customer account rep answering the call, did a very good job of, you know, handling, you know, that customer's concerns. So you can start getting into that kind of tone and tenor, and they're actually taking and saying, hey, we're now ranking our phone associates based on how good they can handle these types of scenarios. And then actually taking and pushing that information and driving into call routing and things along that line. So it's, you know, it's opened up a lot more information. And again, kind of the whole big data challenge that customers have now, that is one of those things. It's like, you know, we've got all this call record information we could be using a whole lot more efficiently or to drive more, a better positive customer experience if we could get our hands around it. You know, things like Hadoop that allows you to spin up, you know, cheap commodity hardware, you know, or in this case in Azure, you don't even have to own the hardware. You can just spin up the cluster, you can run that type of bulk job against it, and you can spin that cluster down. Same thing with Azure Data Lake Analytics services are made specifically for that, as well as, again, the storage behind it. So there's a lot of different pieces that are inside a Cortana Analytics Suite to help give you the tools you need to drive those types of analytics. So Power BI, you know, and Cortana are kind of the face, but underneath the covers, you've got machine learning. You know, machine learning is going to be, you know, the things that are going to be that, you know, driving that recommendation engine or that forecast or that churn. In the previous Power BI report that we looked at, I had actually two different machine learning algorithms running. One was looking at the sensors in the car to determine, okay, this car actually is in need of service because, you know, the oil's a little low, the, you know, pressure is this, and, you know, it's looking at a number of different, you know, input components and determining, you know, just the, hey, needs service, doesn't need service, or the probability that it's going to break down shortly, you know, and trying to send that back to manufacturers and saying, okay, how do we get that information back to the customer so that they can, you know, other than this, you know, straight check engine light, you know, take that car in for service. The other one was, again, that aggressive driving, looking at how they accelerate away from, you know, from a 0 to 60, you know, they're always pushing it and revving the engine and doing things, you know, taking that analytics and saying, here, based on all the sensor readings, this is a kind of an aggressive driver versus this is a driver who's, you know, driving closer to a fuel economy or very fuel efficient method or way of driving. So the machine learning opens up a lot of that deep statistical modeling that you've had to have data scientists for, or, you know, a big group of statisticians. Now, granted, you still will need some of those just from an oversight perspective, but the tool allows people that were may just be data analysts that know the data and go in and pull that information together, makes that very easy and much more accessible to a lot more people. That with, you know, some oversight from a data scientist can start driving a lot more of those models. The other nice thing about machine learning from Azure is we have a very simple way to productionalize that model once it's once you've trained it and you've got it to where you want it. It's a one click and it turns it into an API that you can call from, again, pretty much anywhere, a connected car can call it. And, you know, it can also stream straight into your dashboard, which is what I was doing. We'll get into the architecture of what I was doing in a minute, just to show you some of these components. But I also have some HD Insights and Hadoop work that we were doing in that stream. Data Lake, which is a new, new service that's just available out in preview right now. There's two components of that. There's a Data Lake storage and Data Lake analytics service. And these are, to address the growing data size. So the Data Lake no longer has any type of high-end limit to it. And the data analytic, Data Lake analytics service allows you to spin up that HDI region or, various flavors of Hadoop to run this type of analysis against that data without having to go through a lot of overhead. And you don't have to leave the cluster running and, it's just helping to, make the IT spend a bit more efficient. Azure Stream Analytics. So that's a component that actually does complex event processing. So I had, again, one of those in that stream, which was doing a couple of things, and we'll take a look at that in the next slide on the architecture piece. Data Factory is, you can kind of think of that as the SSIS or the data orchestration in the cloud. So it controls that whole flow of data through things, especially in the batch mode, or collecting from various sources or what have you. That data factory drives all that. Your data catalog is what's storing all your metadata. So as you start wanting to track and trend and see how that data transforms as it makes its way through the path, we have the Azure Data Catalog to help start storing all that information for you. And then you have, your ingestion point. Event Hub, is a part of the service bus, which is standard messaging coming out of pretty much any app. You can go into Event Hub, which then could be picked up by Stream Analytics and then sent down the road. And that's, again, what we're using here for. For that next, for the reporting that you were seeing. Sorry. So here's a, kind of just a high level architecture of what was driving that report. So what you were seeing was at this end was the Power BI dashboard. But I had two different streams. As I mentioned, the data sources or data sets that I had in Power BI, one of them was a streaming data set and the other one was a batch data set. So let's take a look at the streaming one first. So basically this is an app that's running in the car that is collecting all those sensor information, packaging it up into a message and sending it out to Service Bus, which directly is actually going to Event Hub, which is a piece of Service Bus. It stores that message and can store the message for up to 7 days, varying degrees depending on what you've got it configured for. But then I have Azure Stream Analytics, which is going and reading, going through a few seconds and looking at that Event Hub and saying, hey, is there any messages out here for me to look at? When it finds one, when it finds a record, and these Stream Analytics or components are built for high volumes of messaging. So a million records or a million messages a second is what I've heard through the community where I've had people implementing it and can handle a pretty large stream of data coming through here. I've got this Stream Analytics, again, as the complex event processing portion of it, doing three things. One is it goes down and it just takes that raw data stream that comes in out of the car and writes it out to, it can either be the storage blob, it could be Data Lake, either one of the Azure storage mechanisms, I can just write it straight out to there. In its raw form. And that way I can go and run Hadoop instances and jobs against it and do different things with it. I am also actually reading from a lookup file that resides out in the storage blob. I'm reading that data and basically joining it with the stream of data coming out of the car. So now that's where I was picking up, okay, based on this VIN, if I look up that VIN number, I know, oh, that's an SUV or that's a station wagon or the type of model it is. So that's the kind of the VIN lookup of getting me down into a model classification. From there, I'm taking the join of that data and I'm sending it into another Event Hub, which calls an app service. Now this stuff is getting ready to get much easier. We're working on making the call into the machine learning API easier. Right now, it's just an app service that calls because it needs to send response type of communication it has between machine learning. Is it going to send out that stream of data, send it out to the API? The API is going to come back with that probability and classification of whether it's, you know, it needs maintenance or not. And then it streams out of that into Power BI. Now, I'm also taking and saying, all right, you know, I want to keep this data in my database, but I don't necessarily want this all the raw data. So I'm taking actually an average of each of the sensors out of each of the cars on a what they call a tumbling 5 seconds. So every, you know, over the last 5 seconds, the average accelerator position has been X. You know, taking writing that down, so now I've only got a record for once every 5 seconds versus, you know, every sensor reading that's coming in, you know, for every potentially split second of the while the car's in use. And it's writing down, it can write into Azure Data Warehouse, you know, which is the large MBP, massively parallel processing, you know, option within in Azure, or you could write it into a standard Azure SQL database, you know, which is you know, the S&P, the standard, you know, flavor of SQL that most people are used to using. Azure SQL Data Warehouse, you know, just allows you to scale the petabytes of data and be able to do, you know, like a PDW or an APS type use case in the cloud. So you can take and spread that data across, you know, multiple compute nodes or compute resources so that you can actually, you know, query through large amounts of data in a very fast amount of time using still a relational data warehouse. So I've got it dropping in there. And then as it comes through and pulls in the rest of this bulk stream or batch stream, you know, it comes in and builds out the other side of that report into Power BI. Now, as the data comes in and sits in the storage blob, there's some things that I want to do to the other data that comes in. I want to do some normalization. I need to do some cleansing on it. You know, I build out that DIM, the dimension table that is saying, okay, here's the, based on VIN ID, here's a lookup as the data into the model type. Things along that lines I can do, use, you know, HD Insights as a, you know, very powerful kind of an ETL tool or data cleansing tool. And then that, you know, feeds, you know, gets preps the data in order to get fed into that machine learning model for the aggressive driving piece. Now, what orchestrates all of this is Data Factory. So Data Factory across this whole value chain right through here allows the data to flow through in the right order and manages all of that for you. So these are just some of the components, again, that are part of the Cortana Analytics Suite, but how it kind of goes together to drive that, you know, that, you know, end report, which is what most people are really looking for. They're not worried about all the pieces under the puzzle, under the covers here. But what they really want is the report, you know. And as I said, you know, we were always getting asked for, hey, we want more real-time data. Instead of it being every day, I want it to be every hour. I want it to be every 15 minutes. I want it to be whatever. You know, with being able to now take that stream of data as it's generated from whatever source it is, if it's writing some type of message, if it's an app of some sort, it's typically writing a message. You can then feed that into your data warehouse, you know, from whichever direction you want, but you can also stream it straight to the report. So you don't have to go through the normal, write it to the database, you know, to a transactional database, then move that to, you know, through an ETL process to a, you know, data warehouse and get it cleansed and all that, and then feed it through to the report. Those are all the steps that take a lot of time usually keep you from getting to a truly real-time reporting, and it's, you know, always what we call near real-time because it's as near as we can get and still be able to do all of that stuff. So this allows you to take a kind of a different path to it, still write it into the database, so you still have your tracking back of the actual granular data all the way down to that level. So you can drill through back into it. So. All right. So as we look at the advanced analytics, what is really going on here? So how is it different from standard traditional BI? So this graph basically shows, you know, the left side is traditional BI, and that's basically where you're looking at what happened. You're looking at the historic data to kind of describe what had happened and analyze why did it happen, things along that lines. And that's, you know, kind of where most companies have been, you know, up to this point. But places that they want to go is typically to, you know, okay, now that I know what's happened, how do I predict what's getting ready to happen? How do I plan for something that's happening, going to happen? So in the event of, you know, say if you're manufacturing and you've got machines and robotic machines that are building your product for you, And you can start looking at sensors in those robotic machines and start to understand, hey, when I start seeing these characteristics or these patterns in the data, I can actually, you know, tell based on historic performance that in the next, you know, day, I'm going to have an outage or I'm going to have that machine stop working on me for whatever reason. You know, that way I can start planning predictive maintenance and be able to start prevent that from happening so that I don't have expensive downtime when my production line should be running. I've got people with very high dollar amounts associated to minutes down on a manufacturing line. So if you can predict that type of event from before it happens and schedule it into your standard maintenance that you may have nightly or what have you, then that will save your company tons of time. We do have, again, in the machine learning space, we have in our gallery, predictive maintenance algorithms that are already there that are, to help you get started on plugging and flowing, having the flow of your information flow into that algorithm to help start, predicting those types of outages for you. So, recommend that you go out and look at the gallery for machine learning and look at all of the different types of, experiments that people have already put together that you can use as a basic starting point. So you're not having to start from scratch on this stuff. You can just pull it straight in, start using it. Some of it's free, some of it may be a charge if you start using, if you start running millions of things through there, it might be a charge. But just take a look at what they've got, and see, if that can help you get started. So in a lot of cases, it makes a lot of sense. So that's in that predictive maintenance, in predictive analytics type space. But we also want to go as far as, all right, how do we start affecting, how things happen? You start getting into, deeper and deeper usage of, machine learning and, pulling in a wider range of data coming in that may be even from outside of your organization. You can take that information and pull it into models that can start giving you, what do we need to do to try to make this happen? So it gets to be a much more advanced use case than what you're used to in a standard reporting scenario. So, what's the differentiator between, Microsoft and other, items and products out in the world? So we're trying to get things set to be very accessible. With Microsoft's acquisition of Revolution R, we now have the tools to take the R language, which is very popular throughout the modeling world, and make it, bring it to enterprise grade. That's what Revolution did. But we're also bringing that R, as well as Python into, machine learning. So you can pick that code up that you may already have written in R and drop it straight into an Azure machine learning experiment and just take advantage of, the ease of our taking that model and turning it into a productionable, API that you can then call very easily versus, having to go through iterations and iterations of IT and trying to take that and figure out, okay, how do we get that into best practices? So it's giving you that as a portal, giving you, accessibility to the tools. It's giving you, ease of ability to get that data into visualizations and into your end users so that they can help drive a lot of the extra business value out of that data. So. So, what's the differentiator between to the market? So here are the types of some of the example solutions that we've already got kind of pre-built. You got sales forecasting, you got demand forecasting, lead scoring, market mix and optimization. We've got some finance and risk examples that are in fraud detection and credit risk management, customer channels, user segmentation. So how do I segment out a pool of users to get to identify a slice of those users that we can make offers to that will make us a bit more profitable because, it might be, spreading that line or pulling in a few more users that other companies may be dodging because they don't have the intelligence to segment those out as still being good users. So You can personalize the offers and product recommendations. Again, that recommendation engine that I was talking to earlier. You know, operational, you know, agent allocation, warehouse efficiency, smart buildings are, you know, and smart metering are very large. You know, I've worked with a bunch of power and electric companies and oil and gas, you know, taking the smart meters and things and you know, and it's to start answering some of those questions, you know, that your customers are asking you. I won't go through all these. You can take a look at those later. But, you know, it's, you know, getting you to that point to where you've now got the power with machine learning and the streaming, you know, the ease of getting the data from various sources, whether it's your databases that you already have, or it might be pulling in, you know, somewhat unstructured data from outside that you just drop into Hadoop or into Data Lake. And you can then do some analysis across that, or Power BI has, you know, Spark connectors, so they can, you know, connect directly into a Spark cluster or into a Hadoop cluster. So there's, you know, just that whole pulling all of the data back together, because, you know, in this world, not all of the data that you'll want to use to make decisions are going to be data that you've generated within your company. You're going to pull in outside influences or sentiment analysis or things along that lines. So, you know, thank you for your time. I hope this was, you know, beneficial to you. We could circle around on, you know, deeper dives into some of these components if you know, feedback suggests. And, you know, thank you.
All right. So we're going to close up there today. We are running about 5 minutes late, but I want to thank you for joining us today for Midday Cafe. We'll be returning back after the Thanksgiving break. We will have our producer back in his seat, so we'll do a full-blown produce session. But, you know, we'll have links to all this information up later this afternoon. I'll try to grab a copy or scrub out a copy of Brian's presentation here as well and attach that so we can have that and a standalone version of a video focusing on his content. We'll have that. We'll have the links to the registration for the Azure event and much, much more. So thank you for joining us for Midday Cafe. Take care. Have a great week. Have a great Thanksgiving for those here in the United States this week. Take care. And as always, ciao.